All right, joining us right now in the studio, Mark Glennon, and he is he's an expert on this. I've been teasing this all day, Mark, because I've been hearing people say to me from basically for the last number of years, I mean, at least 5 years, talk about trying to get out of the state of Illinois. People who have, especially people who have a lot of assets, people who, you know, have done well, built their businesses here, made some money, and then they decide that based on the taxes and based on the weather and based on a lot of other factors and political corruption, I think is another one that people always point to. I don't know if they really mean it when they say it, but they're trying to come up with a whole set of reasons to tell their friends and family why it is that they're all going to Franklin, Tennessee. But they are, and we've been hearing about this, and I think there are a lot of people who've been in the political class and others along the way have been going, no, that's just anecdotal evidence. It doesn't really happen. It's apocryphal. But it turns out that it is actually happening because there's real statistics behind it.
There sure are. It comes from the IRS. They
Oh, God.
They break it down by income, and they do interstate migration data every year. They missed it for a year. That's part of the reason why some of this was sloughed off as you said, anecdotal evidence. But the anecdotal evidence has been palpable, as from my experience.
Oh, yeah, everybody's talking about it. They're doing
it. Yeah, the IRS.
I hate to sound like, that's very popular now, say, well, everybody says. But in this case, you do hear it a lot. So you do wonder, are people really voting with their feet here in terms of getting out of Illinois? What are the numbers showing?
They are. And the predominant group of people leaving does tend to be lower income. However, the IRS data show that all income groups are leaving, and those wealthier people that are leaving as well take a vastly disproportionate amount of income with them. So, for example, just the
Tax burden
and tax burden. That's right. $200,000 and above, that comprised only 11% of the people that left the state, but they took 55% of the income with them. And that's taxable income that's lost. It's not just taxable income we lose, of course, but they were paying property taxes, they were doing philanthropic giving, spending, all the rest. So all that leaves with them.
So they took with them 5.6 of everybody, 88,000 tax filers here.
That's right. That's the total
department. In
2018.
All right. So that's the last year available.
Right.
Right. So 2019, can imagine, not going to be much better, if not a lot worse. They took with them $5.6 billion in annual adjusted gross income. And so that's a lot of money, right? That's a lot of money that comes out of the Illinois economy.
And it's actually nothing new. This was not a quirky year. It's been going on for at least 5 years. And when you add up all that from all those years, it comes to $400 billion. I mean, we're talking serious money, and that's all getting drained out of state.
And we have a sense of why, what the reasons really are. Again, they're anecdotal from my perspective, but can we glean anything from these IRS numbers?
Yeah, I mean, clearly part of it is taxes, but you got to look at taxes as part of the part of a package. They think the money's going down the drain. It's not being wisely spent. They see no end to this. As Warren Buffett said, don't go invest in Illinois because they're coming for your money. He was looking forward to even further tax increases because of all our unfunded pension liabilities. And particularly business owners and such know that. They see that it's going to get still worse. And that's what's scaring them. And you combine that with corruption, the other problems in Illinois government, and they say, why should we stick around here? This is a bad bet.
It does seem, though, that the FBI has been very busy of late, and that we're going through some of the biggest names in Chicago and state politics seem like they are on the line here. I mean, one of the biggest names in Chicago politics for the last 50 years, clearly is going to be facing a trial or going to be facing.
Ed Burke, yes.
Yeah, Ed Burke is going to be. And you're seeing a lot of people who surround Mike Madigan, who are starting to fall here in local and municipal politics and state politics. So, you start to wonder if, eventually that, which happens generationally in Illinois, that the top gets sheared off of the corruption pie. But the question is, who's going to replace it? And will anybody really start to do the right thing here? Is your sense that when people are voting with their feet here to get out of Illinois, that, and as you mentioned, it comes from all different strata here. It's not just you know, wealthy people.
Right.
As a matter of fact, that's only 11%, as you point out, people over with an income over $200,000. Is crime a big issue?
I think that's part of it. I don't hear that mentioned that much, but, you know, certainly here in Chicago, you do see, again, anecdotally, a lot of complaints about it appearing in what used to be safer neighborhoods, you know, even right here on Michigan Avenue,
right.
You know, those kinds of crimes in Old Town. You know, that's part of it. You know, we have made progress. I think you're right. There's going to be a lot of indictments. There's going to be a lot of cleanup. Lori Lightfoot, God bless her. I think whatever else you think about her, I think she is honest. She's a real reformer. She beat the machine.
Handily. Three to one.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think if that's it, just to center on Chicago for a second, the city of Chicago, if there's anything that is, and she's a tough cookie, but if there's anything that is a moment where the voters are smarter than the politicians think they are, it was that city election last year when Lori Lightfoot took on, who was expected, Tony Preckwinkle, who was just basically was already measuring the drapes at City Hall to move across the hall to become the mayor of the city as opposed to the Cook County Commissioner, which it, you know, nobody knows what the hell that person does, right? You get to ask,
right.
And nobody knows who their Cook County Commissioner is, and there's far fewer Cook County Commissioners than there are aldermen, right? So it's like that's a great place to go hide and steal stuff if you really want to do it.
And you're touching on a real important point here. It's all these overlapping units of government that we have here in Chicago, especially. That is where the financial problem is concentrated worse. When you add up all these debts and unfunded liabilities, it comes out to $144,000 per household if you're in Chicago. And think about that. Most people can't contribute anything to that. You can't ask them. You shouldn't ask them to pay for it. So, you know, if you want to tax the top 10%, or maybe the people over 200,000. If you did it only for people over 200,000,
it appears only shad are impacted, not other wildlife. The kill is near Miller Westerman's Marina.
we're being interrupted here. All right, we're no longer being interrupted. Okay, go ahead. We're talking to Mark Glennon, founder of WirePoints.org. All right, go ahead. So you were saying that it's overlapping government and the amount of money that is being lost here. So it's $140,000 per household in terms of basically what we owe. Right, in terms of we want to clear up the amount that we're underwater
in Chicago, right?
Yeah, and we talk about property taxes, and the property taxes alone are also creating this flight without question, and that affects everybody. You know, we were talking about, you know, are people leaving Illinois? Why are they leaving Illinois? The property tax situation up here in the Chicago metropolitan area, whether it's in Cook County, even in the collar counties here, the property taxes are going up. And it's freaking people out.
It really is. That is where it's burning hottest, and that's the hot button issue that we hear about all the time. And it's well over 3% on a real basis in many of the suburbs, and that's a death spiral. You just don't get any improvements. You get people leaving. That shrinks the tax base further. Taxes go up on the people that are left behind. It's a death spiral. And, you know, we hear sad stories from little old ladies on fixed income. They get their tax bill. They're nearly in tears. They just simply can't pay it. That's probably the biggest, scariest factor is property taxes, especially around Chicagoland.
All right. Do you see an answer here? Stemming the tide of people leaving the state of Illinois?
Our view is going to have the remedy has to match the malady, which means a vast and drastic set of reforms, including a constitutional amendment, for example, that we would need to do real pension reform. And we're not going to solve this on the backs of pensioners by any means.
But reform for whom, though?
That's exactly the issue. You'd have to protect the folks with smaller pensions, and you know, the lowest hanging fruit, I think, is the 3% automatic COLA, which even most folks who
cost of living.
That's right. Yeah. You know, it's really not a cost of living adjustment. It's an automatic 3% raise. That accounts for a big chunk of the problem. Maybe you make the retirement ages a little higher. Maybe you cap out those big fat cat pensions that we've talked about.
Are you talking about government pensions solely, or are you talking about all pensions?
Only government pensions.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay. And the government pensions, and there has been some reform. I mean, you know, these guys used to double and triple dip in a way, but then Illinois changed the law so that once, you know, depending on the pensions that you're getting, you know, whether it's state, federal, or municipal, or state, county, or municipal, then they all get lumped into one now, as opposed to you're getting three
separate. Well, you know, they cut back that we had that reform, and the teachers union lobbied to reverse that reform successfully. And so they took that away, and it's kind of open season.
For the teachers or for the...
The teachers union actively lobbied for that.
But just for teachers, though.
Yes, but that's, you know, 60% of the state's pension problem is the teachers' pension. TRS is by far the big one in the state's problems.
Isn't that... But how does what... And that's... And you hear that a lot. And, you know, you hear that about, you know, policemen, firemen, and politicians for sure. Everybody wants to take away the pensions for the politicians and the people and the bureaucrats, right? But for the people who are actually on the front lines, and teachers are on the front lines, you know, what do you do about it? How do you induce people to go into these jobs? Because a lot of people are induced into public service because they know that there is a pension and that that does help them. And then after X amount of years of doing that, they can go off and do other things or not work at all.
Yeah, my view is that the salary scales are messed up. That is, the younger teachers, who arguably are the better teachers, get very poor pay. Most of them, when they join, they don't even focus on their pension. And it's they have no idea how expensive it is for the government to honor that, especially when they've been as underfunded as they have been. So give them the compensation up front, attract the good ones up front fairly with fair salaries, and give them a retirement plan comparable to what the private sector gets.
All right. Mark Lennon is with wirepoints.org. And it's an independent nonprofit research and commentary organization looking at these things. Like, and we started this conversation on green flight, as it's known, from Illinois. Yeah. But people deciding that they want to get out of the state, moving from migration from state to state. And as you mentioned, this is new information from the IRS. Do we know what states benefited the most from Illinois migration?
Texas, Wisconsin, Indiana, and Florida picked up most of our people and income.
Wow. You know what? Tennessee doesn't make it. And everybody claims to me that they're moving to Franklin, Tennessee. And I keep thinking, Franklin, Tennessee is going to be a town of 3 million people before this is all said and done, if I just listen to everybody.
They were up there. Yeah, a lot of Cubs bars in Nashville.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I don't really get... Well, you know, like Phoenix, all of a sudden got taken over by Chicagoans, and now it looks like it's going to be Tennessee. All right, well, thank you very much. We appreciate your time, Mark.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's check into the WGN Newsroom, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Here is Jen DeSalvo.